From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Middle and high schools in Anchorage have access to a new opioid curriculum this year. Last spring, the district responded to 10 non-fatal drug overdoses at 5 different schools. The new curriculum is dedicated to the memory of a young local woman who died from complications of opioid addiction 7 years ago. Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra has more.
John Green knew his daughter was in trouble. Kelsey Green had survived 2 sexual assaults as an adolescent. And he says she started self-medicating with OxyContin pills in 2011. That ultimately turned into a heroin addiction.
There's no parent that plans for when their child becomes an addict. We didn't understand about detox, didn't know the questions to ask. So we sent her to a rehab outside, and within a couple of days, you know, once she started getting dope sick, she walked out.
Kelsey continued to struggle with her addiction, but she dreamed of a life beyond it. She told Green she wanted to write a book and visit schools to tell her story after her recovery. She wanted to explain what addiction and withdrawal really feel like. She hoped she could stop even one person from going down a path of addiction. But a couple months after that conversation, Kelsey was arrested. She died in jail of complications from withdrawal. She was in a cell by herself.
And when they came and checked on her in the morning, she was naked underneath the call button, stuck in a position with her hand up where she couldn't reach the call button.
Kelsey died from dehydration in 2016 as a complication from withdrawing from opioids. Green says she lost 20 pounds of fluids in the few days she was in jail. Green sued and won a wrongful death settlement against the state. Kelsey isn't around to convince kids to stay away from opioids. But in 2018, Green met someone who wanted to help him tell Kelsey's story. Michael Carson is a former teacher and chair of the Matsu Borough Opioid Task Force.
I have been blessed, and I was fortunate that my children and grandchildren have escaped any kind of issues around addiction. But I felt so moved by his story that I wanted to do something.
Carson and Green saw big holes in opioid education in Alaska. They wanted young people to have a clear understanding of the risks of drugs, beyond being told to just say no. And because the opioid epidemic is changing so quickly, they wanted lessons that could be updated multiple times a year. So, with Kelsey as inspiration, Carson developed a curriculum. He's already taught it in 4 schools in the Matsu Borough. It could be taught in as many as 20 more Anchorage schools this year. Eventually, they'd like to teach the lesson statewide. The curriculum teaches kids how addiction works and what it feels like to withdraw from opioids. It's called Kelsey's Lesson. Carson says the lesson educates about the science of addiction in a straightforward way using Alaska imagery. And it tells people about what withdrawal feels like.
I've heard stories from people that have gone through detox where they said that, you know, they felt like they were possessed by aliens. They felt like they were going to die.
Carson collaborated with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to follow national guidelines. And last spring, the Anchorage School Board unanimously passed a policy to include the lesson in health education for grades 8 through 12. Kathy Bell is director of healthcare services for the school district. She's very scared about opioids in the schools. And she says drug education like this is a crucial part of preventing student deaths.
Our students are using it for experimenting, and they think they're taking maybe pain medication like Percocet, but the Percocet now is laced with fentanyl, and they're not aware of that at all. And it's a very tiny amount of fentanyl that can cause death because it causes a respiratory depression.
Kelsey's lesson is one piece in a larger puzzle of how the school district is responding to the epidemic. They're also distributing overdose kits and training educators on how to use them. And Bell says the more drug education, the better.
Even if you say it in September, saying it again in January is not going to hurt again because they forget or they don't think about it and may make a bad choice. And we don't want anybody making that bad choice. We want everybody to be here with us on this earth.
Green struggled for years to make sense of his daughter Kelsey's death. He kept asking why this had to happen to Kelsey just as she had a chance to detox. Because Kelsey died in state custody and was denied life-saving care, Green says he has an obligation to share her story.
Kelsey could have died of an overdose at a friend's house or on the street or whatever, nothing would have come of it. Nothing would have changed. I could have maybe had to identify her body in a dumpster. Because of the way she died, I had to give her a voice.
Carson and Green are also organizing around State House Bill 6, which requires the Department of Education to create an opioid curriculum. They're hoping to add an amendment to make that drug education mandatory. That would mean opioid education would be required in every school in Alaska. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
And first responders are still sorting through the devastation on Maui. So far, wildfires have scorched more than 2,000 acres and killed nearly 100 people on the island. Alaska is home to a large Hawaiian community, many of whom have links to Maui. Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George spoke to one community member who jumped into action last week to help organize relief efforts.
On Friday afternoon, Tasha Kahele's phone was blowing up.
Yeah, call me. We'll help in whatever way we can, even if we gotta ship it by air cargo.
Kahele is a multitasker with two jobs and multiple businesses. That afternoon, she was on her way to Costco to pick up pizzas for volunteers, and at the same time, fielding a stream of phone calls and texts from organizations offering donations for Maui locals left stranded by the fires.
Take care. Bye-bye. So I have been overwhelmed with calls and everything.
Kahele's family runs Lay's Poke Stop at Takotnu Commons. In the parking lot outside, her family and friends loaded into a Matson trailer cases of water bottles, diapers, and non-perishable food, donated by individuals and local businesses. Kahele and her family moved to Alaska from Oahu 15 years ago. She moved not expecting to know anyone until she realized how vibrant Alaska's Hawaiian community is. Some families have been here for generations, and many still have deep roots back home, she says.
Even though we're thousands of miles away, we're still affected by it. And when they hurt, we hurt. Everyone hurts, and it's just a time that we are using to just come together and do something good and make something good out of, you know, the devastation.
After fires spread rapidly through the island early last week, Kahele says she felt a sense of hopelessness watching the tragedy unfold on social media. But as she explained at the Costco pizza counter, she's not one to sit on the sidelines.
I literally woke up yesterday morning and said, okay, enough crying, we're praying, it was just so much stuff going on. We have to do something.
And she messaged her family group text, called local Hawaiian churches and Pacific Islander organizations, and within a few hours secured donated shipping container space to send relief items home.
So within less than 24 hours, we had U.S. Foods donate pallets of water, pallets of non-perishable food that's in the container already. We had single households, people that we don't even know, that bought truckloads of stuff.
Back at the Takotnu parking lot, donations are still rolling in.
I've got empty boxes and I got some clothes. Yes, some soap.
Nearby, Anchorage resident Olani Sonoa is helping sort clothes into boxes. She directs purchasing for U.S. Foods, a wholesale food company. Her family in Maui is safe, but she called on the company for donations to help out their neighbors.
And by 12:30, we had literally half a truckload of water down here to fill up the truck and a couple other items.
With children running underfoot and music blasting, spirits this afternoon are high.
Right? Even in a devastating moment and, a time of emergency, that really is just the Polynesian aloha spirit, right?
Kahele and her team gathered about 60,000 pounds of donations over the weekend. She's hoping to organize more. The most important items, like generators, will arrive in Maui by air cargo later this week, and the rest will go on a barge to arrive early next month. Kahele plans to fly to Maui in the next few days to be there when they unload. In Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 57 degrees and overcast. This afternoon, more showers are on the way, and tonight, a low of 54 degrees. Tomorrow, there's a high of 56 degrees and 100% chance of rain. Tomorrow night, low of 51 degrees. Thursday, it's supposed to rain as well, and the rain might taper off overnight for a sunny Friday with a high of 65 degrees, and that could last through the weekend as well. For more stories, go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO.